Wonder before we get to the Word of God this morning if there might be a word of testimony or maybe a song I'm not aware of this morning, special. I'm going to be reading this morning from the third chapter of the book of Jonah, Old Testament, right after the book of Obadiah and right before the book of Micah. And I'm going to be reading the third chapter. I'll give you a moment to turn. I hope everyone had a good week this past week, kind of a holiday week, and time to be together. I was thankful, I think, to spend a little time with my son this past week and his wife. They are transitioning from one house to another house, and they got too much going on. And we arrived there Monday afternoon, and he immediately thought it was a good idea for me and him to go out and trim bushes and trees for 5 hours. And I'll just be honest with you, I couldn't move much that night. Got up the next morning, and it was raining, and I did say, thank you, Lord. But then he said, well, we can't work outside, so he had me paint 10 hours on the 4th of July. And Wednesday, I got up, and of course, him and his wife were staying at the new house, and me and Dawn and the baby were staying at the old house what little time we were there. So Wednesday, I got up, and his grass at the old house was too long. That needed to be cut, so I cut that. And I was glad to be home. It was good to visit, but it was good to be home. Now, Dawn, she spent a lot of time with Lucy. She had to watch her while we all did that work, so I know that was fun, but it was work, too. And I got to spend a little time with Lucy. She's not talking yet, but she's got some really good facial expressions now, you know. I'd be talking to her, and she'd just go look at me like, wrong with you? And I'm like, what's wrong with you? But we had fun, and looking forward to being with them again. The book of Jonah, chapter 3. Going to read the whole chapter, 10 verses. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose, and he went unto Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. And he cried, and he said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God, and proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and covered him with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything, let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and cry mightily unto God, yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their lands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. So that's the entire third chapter of the book of Jonah. My text is going to come from 2 Chronicles, chapter 7 and verse 14. Many of you know that portion of Scripture just by what I've said. And that verse says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. And what that means, if they'll admit their sins. If my people will humble themselves, if they'll admit their sins and pray. And what that means is ask for forgiveness. He said, and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, meaning the sinful behavior that they were involved in. And brothers and sisters, let me just add right here, true repentance is more than talk. True repentance is a change of behavior. Then, if they'll do those things, he said, then, meaning following those steps, will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. God will hear, and God will answer. This verse that I've just shared, it's a very familiar verse. And that verse came in response to what Solomon had questioned or requested in chapter 6. In chapter 6, he had asked God to make provisions for people when they sinned. And this was God's response, and he answered and gave them conditions that had to be met for forgiveness. But as I read those and I thought about God's conditions, and if the people did what God asked them to do, what a wonderful, blessed promise that God gave to them, that he would heal them and that things would be well. My thought today, or the title of my message, is The Great Revival in Nineveh. And could it happen again? Could it happen again? The story from the book of Jonah is one that I guess we learn from the time that we're in Sunday school as small children. And, you know, this particular chapter that I'm reading about, and really the whole book of Jonah, there's so many powerful messages and lessons that we can find in the book of Jonah that can be learned and can be applied to our lives. And, you know, much had transpired in the first two chapters of Jonah. You know, it began in the very first chapter, in the first verse, with, "And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah." And what I want us to recognize about that is God had a calling for Jonah. You know, Jonah, he was a prophet to Israel. He was a prophet to Assyria. And God had a message. He had a message that he wanted delivered unto the people of Nineveh on behalf of God. And I want us, as we're thinking about this Bible record here this morning, brothers and sisters, I want us to realize that we have a calling on us. God has a message that he wants us to deliver to the world on behalf of God. And we would do well to be obedient to what God would have us to do, that we would be obedient to our commission, mission, as I called it last week, the Great Commission that he gave to us to go. And like Jonah was told, we need to do the same thing. Jonah was told to arise and go. And we need to arise and go. And, you know, I wonder sometimes, what will it take for professed Christians? And I say it that way because there's those that say, well, I'm a Christian, I'm saved. They're professing to be a Christian. I wonder sometimes, what will it take for professed Christians to be obedient to the Lord? What will it take? I encourage you to read the first two chapters of Jonah sometime this week, and you'll see what it took to get Jonah to the place where he could be obedient to the Lord. But listen, when Jonah got to the place of obedience, he got there. It was an interesting journey. But when he got to the place of obedience, he was sent before the people of Nineveh with a purpose. God had a message that he wanted to give to them, a warning that was going to go out to the people of Nineveh. And as I read, I hope you noticed that Jonah did do that. But the result of what the warning was and what was going to happen was totally different than what was expected. Because instead of the wrath of God coming upon these people, it turned into a revival that these people were experiencing. We know, brothers and sisters, in 2 weeks we're in revival, right? We all know that. In 2 weeks, 2 weeks from today, we are going to be in our annual revival that we have every year. And it comes the fourth Sunday of July every year. And it's not a formality, and it's not a ritual or a custom that we honor each year, is it? I hope it's not. We have it on that, but it's not a ritual. It's not a formality. It's not a custom that we do. I hope it's more than that. And because I believe for revival to amount to anything, there has to be a recognition of need. It's not just something we do. There has to be a recognition of a need. And do we need revival here at Crossroads Missionary Baptist Church? Well, sure we do. Do we need revival in our town, in Camden? Do we need revival in America? Well, sure we do. We need revival. And brothers and sisters, we probably have no idea just how much that it's needed. We see things going on, but I got to tell you, sometimes we get in our own little areas, in our own little worlds, and we're blinded from, or we're blocked out from, and we don't know what's going on in other countries and other parts of our state. So I think sometimes we just We just don't know how much it's needed. But listen, Nineveh, they were in a countdown, weren't they? Jonah came in and he told them that the time was coming. They had 40 days. That was his warning that he was giving out. They had 40 days. And I got to tell you, I believe as I read that, the thought came to me, well, we're in a countdown too. We here in this world, in our land, in our town, in our church, I believe that we're also in a countdown. And time is running out. 0 hour is coming upon us. And when I talk about 0 hour, I'm talking about the coming of the Lord Jesus. He's coming back again according to the word of God. And he's coming back to do what? He's going to come back to do a lot of things. He's coming back to gather together his own. But he's also coming back to bring about righteous judgment upon a sinful world. No different from Jonah's time. The people of Nineveh, he's coming back. And maybe sooner than many of us are expecting. And what I'm trying to say this morning is, brothers and sisters, we've got to get concerned. We've got to get concerned about the unsaved. And we have to have a desire to do something about it. And that's something that we have to do. If you're wondering, well, preacher, what is that something that we have to do? All we have to do is what the Lord called us to do. All we got to do is what the Lord has instructed us to do. All we got to do is what the Lord commissioned us to do. And that is simply get the message out. Get the message out to those round about us that need to hear the message. I want to use this portion of God's word for us to see the chain of events that led to this revival that took place in Nineveh. It began with the preaching of Jonah here. You know, God told Jonah, go to Nineveh. Nineveh was some 500 miles northeast of Israel. And Jonah approached the city of Nineveh, and as I read to you, it was described as an exceeding great city. Exceeding great city. Today, it would be just outside of Mosul in northern Iraq. And it was approximately 60 miles around. And as I was trying to see, well, how many people were there? I don't know how many people were there. Some things I read said there were 200,000 people there, and it went up as many as 600,000 people. But listen, there was a lot of people that were in Nineveh. That's a lot of people, whatever number you want to pick in between there. And the walls of Nineveh, they were 100 feet high, and they were 3 chariots across or abreast from one another. And as I read, it took 3 days to walk through it from one end to the other end. And Jonah had walked in one day. And as Jonah went in, you know, there was no advance men that went in ahead of Jonah. Jonah went in, and there no radio, there's no televisions, there was no PA system for him to give his message. But he went in, and he preached the word of God. He didn't preach anything more. He didn't preach anything less than what? Than what God told him. The Lord said, I'll tell you what I want you to preach. And that's what Jonah did. He went into Nineveh. And I want you to think about what was Nineveh like? You know, an exceedingly great city, walled, a lot of people. What was going on there? As I read to you this morning, there was great wickedness that was going on in Nineveh. The people of that place, they were preoccupied with all kinds of sinful pursuits. Now, as I read that to you this morning, Jonah, he never did get into the specifics with us. But if you turn a couple of books further in toward the New Testament to the book of Nahum, you're going to find there that Nahum gives us more insight. And what he told us about Nineveh is he said this. He said that they were guilty of evil plots against God. He said that the children of Nineveh, they were guilty of exploiting those that were helpless, of those that were needy. He said that they were guilty of cruelty and war. He said that they were guilty of prostitution. And he said they were guilty of idolatry. And they were guilty of witchcraft. So, Nineveh wasn't just a wicked place, but it was a very sinful place. Now, Jonah, when he got obedient, you're going to read those 2 chapters before this one. When he got obedient to the Lord, instead of running, he got earnest. And he was an earnest preacher. And what I mean by that was He got to the place where he was sincere. He got to the place where he was serious. He got to the place where he was intense. And his message to those of Nineveh was the message of the coming judgment of God. His message was, quite honestly, it was a message of doom. It was a message of limited opportunity. Verse 4, as I read to you, it said, "Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown, destroyed, won't be anymore." The message was plain. The message was clear. The message was powerful. The message was personal. Now, I want you to notice the reaction. Well, first of all, Jonah knew just how serious God was, and that caused him to be serious as well. But listen, the message that he gave out to them, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." The message that he preached, it was received by the people of Nineveh. Now, I want to say this. We come in here every Sunday, me or somebody who's standing in this place, and we're bringing the Word of God, and we're preaching the Word of God, and it's going forth. And it's being received. I think it's being received. But here's the thing about Nineveh, and here's the thing about us today. They received the message from Jonah, but more importantly, they believed the message. I can stand here every Sunday and I can preach the gospel message, the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, crucified, buried, and risen again. And if there's a lost person amongst us, you might receive the message. You're hearing what I'm saying to you, but it's not going to mean anything to you until you believe it. And you understand, as our Sunday school lesson said, that Jesus came to take our place on the cross of Calvary to atone for our sins. When you receive that and you believe it and you're moved to action to do something about it, the Lord is going to save you. And you'll be able to rejoice in the peace that comes from being a child of God. Well, these people of Nineveh, they believed God and they were moved to action. Verse 5 said, "So the people of Nineveh believed God and they proclaimed a fast and they put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them." Now, putting on sackcloth, and later the king mentioned ashes as well, what that was that was a sign of penance. It was a sign of mourning. They believed the message, and it affected them. It impacted them. It convicted them. And despite their wickedness, despite all that wickedness, here's the good news. The good news is that they were opened to God's message. They were open to it, they heard it, and immediately they repented. Immediately. Brothers and sisters, are we getting this? I said our revival is coming. It's nearing. And to me, the message is very clear. And here's the simple part of the message. If you and I, if we will simply tell others what we know about Jesus, if we'll simply tell them about our salvation experience, if we'll witness to them about the goodness and the mercy and what God has done in our lives and in the lives of others, if we will teach them the Word of God, if we'll tell them the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what? We just might be surprised at how many people not only will receive or listen, but how many will believe it. And I hope that we see that in this biblical record that we have. And we can apply it to what we're doing right now in our world, in our time, as we're coming up on revival and as we're preparing for revival. Jonah's message was heard by the people, and they were affected by it immediately. But then, a little bit further on, I told you that now his message goes forth and it reaches the king. The king hears what the message of Jonah's was. "Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown." You know, sometimes we wonder sometimes, why does it seem so hard for those that are privileged? Why does it seem so hard for those that have advantage to be able to repent, to be able to hear the truth, and to be able to respond to the truth of God's Word? Why is it so hard for them to be contrite? Why is it so hard for them to be sorry? Why is it so hard for them to be remorseful? I don't know that I have the answer to that, other than I think sometimes it might be because they're used to being the one in the power. They're used to being the one that gets their way. You can't come to Jesus your way. You got to come to Jesus his way. That's the only way that you can find him precious to your soul and this king here. And listen, I say that, and you say, well, preacher, that's kind of judgmental. All we got to do is look at the example in Scripture. You remember in Luke, it's in all the Gospels, really, but you remember the rich young ruler. You remember that he came to the Lord Jesus, and he had a desire. What was his desire? His desire was this. Mark chapter 10 is where I'm at, but it said, what shall I do that I might inherit eternal life? Well, I'm just going to paraphrase now, but Jesus told him what he needed to do. And when this rich young ruler heard what he was supposed to do or what Jesus asked him to do, listen to what he said in verse 22. And he was sad at the saying. He was sad at what Jesus said. Jesus told him to go sell what he had and follow Jesus. And the man, it said he was sad at the saying, and he went away grieved. He went away grieved, for he had great possessions. So what did he do? He went away lost. He went away unsaved. I think about the time that Paul was speaking and witnessing to Felix in the 24th chapter of Acts. As he was speaking to Felix there, his response to the truth, I'm talking about Felix's response. Paul was telling him about Jesus. And this is Felix's response in verse 25. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled. I believe the word of God pierced his heart. I'd go as far as to say, I think this man was troubled. This man was under conviction. This man was burdened by what Paul had shared with him. And listen to what it says. Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time. Tell Paul, go your way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call upon thee. When it's good for me, I'm going to call upon you. No repentance there, was there? And what about King Agrippa? When Paul was speaking to King Agrippa about his need to trust in Jesus unto the salvation of his soul. We all know this one, the 26th chapter of Acts and the 28th verse. Almost, right? Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. No salvation there. These are just three of examples that we find in the Word of God of how repentance is rare, how it's uncommon, how it's infrequent to the rich and the powerful. But brothers and sisters, I want you to get this too. It's not impossible. It's not impossible for them to come to know the Lord. That's why you and I, that's why you and I should exclude no one when we're talking about Jesus. We shouldn't exclude anyone from the truth, no matter who they are, where they're at, or what they have. We need to tell them about Jesus. And the king of Nineveh here, this is a good reason why. Because the king of Nineveh, what did he discover? Well, I think of what was transpiring here as Jonah was saying 40 days and the city of Nineveh was going to be destroyed. The king, he realized something. He realized that riches, and he had a lot of them, he realized that riches, well, they weren't enough. He realizes that he needed righteousness in his life. He realized that the power that he had as a king, the power that he had, it wasn't enough. He needed peace. He realized that it didn't matter how many servants that he had, he realized that he needed salvation. And I hope you noticed it said, when the king heard the warning, just like the people, the king also believed the word. And we know that because it says he got up off his throne, and it said that he laid his robe from him, and he covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. I want us to also realize this morning, you know what? The actions of one person sometime can have a great impact on people that are all around, can affect large numbers of people. And the king's penance here, it moved the whole city to repentance. We looked and we see what it said in verse 8. You know, the king, he sent out a decree. And he sent out a decree and he told all of them to cry mightily unto the Lord. Cry mightily unto the Lord. Everyone was to repent of their sins. Everyone was to turn from their sins. And what was their hope? What was their hope in that? Well, their hope was that if they repented, if they turned from the things that they had been doing, that God would hear their cries. God would hear their mighty cries. God would look down and he would see the change that was taking place in their lives individually, in their lives as a community, in their lives as a nation, that God would see that, and that in seeing that, he would turn from the warning or the anger that he had for them because of their sin, and that he would spare their lives. Remember, the clock was ticking. 40 days, and judgment was coming. And they were hopeful that God would acknowledge their religious reform, that God would see their sincerity of heart, and that God would grant them his mercy, spare them the judgment. And I think that's the point of my text verse that I mentioned earlier from 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then, he said, will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. What does the Lord want? What does the Lord want from his people? I think the message is clear from God's word. What he wants us to do in all generations, throughout all ages, what the Lord wants his people to do, what he wants all people to do, is he wants us to go from straying people, to praying people. I think what the Lord wants from all of us is he wants us to go from committing sin to confessing sin. He wants us to get to that place where we can have the right relationship with him. And brothers and sisters, I can tell you this morning that without that, if that doesn't happen in our church, if that doesn't happen in our community, if that doesn't happen in our nation, there can't be any revival. Revival will not come as long as people are straying and committing sin instead of praying and confessing sin. That's what we need. That's what we need. Now, notice what the crying out to the Lord did. It caused the city to be spared. It caused this city to be delivered from the wrath that was coming, the destruction that was coming. They were saved. They were spared the judgment. Brothers and sisters, our family and friends who are unsaved, or maybe those who have strayed from God, they need to be spared the judgment of God. And they need to receive the grace of God. They need that. And we ought to love them enough and care enough about them to want them to receive that. And listen, revival time, that's a perfect time for the word to go out. It's the perfect time for hearts to be reached during revival time. God's working all year long, but you know what? We put a special emphasis on that week. 2 weeks from today, there's going to be a special emphasis. We're going to meet here twice a day, morning service, evening service. We're going to be praying for the needs of the unsaved. We're going to be praying for the needs of those who have strayed. We're going to be praying for uplift for ourselves. I enjoyed last Sunday's service, those of you that were here. God's Spirit was moving, and I felt it, and I hope you felt it too. God's people need to be on fire for God, and what I mean by on fire is working for the Lord, and we ought to be reaching out to those that need to be reached. And revival's a good time, and it's important for our loved ones and our friends and our families to hear the Word of God. And that's where you and I come in. We want them to be able to hear the Word of God. But again, it's more important. It wasn't just that the people of Nineveh received the word of Jonah, but they believed it. And that's what we want. We want to do our part to share the Word of God. But we want them to not only receive it, but we want them to believe it. And we want them to respond to the truth of God's word in obedience. And if they'll do that, you know what happens? It pleases God. It pleases God, and he works and he moves in the hearts of people. And That's the message of this great revival that was taking place in Nineveh. God responded in mercy to the reaction of the king and to the reaction of all the people of Nineveh by canceling that warning of punishment that was coming, and he did it because of their repentance and turning away from their sin. Revival is needed at Crossroads Missionary Baptist Church. Revival is needed in our community, and revival is needed across our nation. But here's the thing. It can come again. We've seen it in the past, and it can come again. God can bless in a great and mighty way. Listen to what God said in his word, that any people, any nation, that will come to him, that's facing his judgment, if they will come to him with a repentant heart, they'll be saved. In the Old Testament, in the book of Jeremiah, in the 18th chapter, beginning in the 7th verse and the 8th verse, it confirms, listen, at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck up, to pull down, to destroy. If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. In my reading from Jonah today in this third chapter, God forgave Nineveh just like he forgave Jonah, and just like he forgives all who have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Lord, he is always ready to show forth his compassion. He's always ready to show forth his love, always ready to show forth his mercy to anyone who's what? Who's willing to seek him, who's willing to come to him. And, you know, there may be somebody among us today, I don't know the condition of your hearts today, but there may be somebody among us today that needs the mercy, that needs the grace of God extended to them for restoration, maybe being brought back into fellowship with him. Or maybe you're completely lost and have never trusted in Jesus as your Savior, and you need to be saved today. Listen, the people of Nineveh have shown the way. They've shown the way. The Hebrew writer in the 4th chapter, in the 12th verse, says this. For the word of God, it's quick. The word of God is powerful. And it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and of the marrows. And it is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. What did you just say, Pastor? What I just said was that God's word is alive. God's word is active. God's word speaks to all of our hearts whenever we get into God's word, and it pierces hearts. God's word pierces hearts, and when it pierces hearts, it exposes us to our sin. It shows us our condition that we are in before God. And listen, you can receive the reward of heaven, and you can miss the judgment of hell by repenting and trusting in Jesus as your Savior this very day. I truly believe when we think about our Lord and we think about His love and His mercy that He extends to us, there is judgment coming. If you believe the Word of God, there's judgment coming. God is coming back to bring about His righteous judgment upon those who rejected Him, disobeyed Him. But listen, I guess what I want you to understand today is that He would much rather extend to you His mercy and grace than His judgment. And I'm thankful that He does, because it gives us an opportunity to be in the right place with the Lord. And brothers and sisters, I think a lot about our place, our part. Revival's coming. And we need to be the Jonahs in our day. We need to be going out into the world. And we can't sugarcoat it. I mean, last week, what was the title of my message? Anybody remember? Nobody? You're just shy and bashful, I know. Repent. I heard it. Repent or perish. That was the title of my message. And I know that that's not a popular message, but we as God's people, we need to send that message out so people know what's coming. And they know that there is options. You can do nothing and die in your sins and spend eternity in hell, and that's your choice. But as we learned in Sunday school, Jesus went to the cross for you. He went to the cross for me, and he died to atone for sins. And if we'll be obedient to the calling, the drawing of God, we don't have to experience the wages of sin, the penalty of sin, eternal separation from God. We can receive the mercy and grace of God, and he'll save us and give us the promise and the hope of life everlasting with him in eternity in heaven, while we're enjoying that relationship here with him through the Holy Spirit and about the work of the Lord. We need to be Jonahs in our day. We got a message. We got a message that needs to be heard. We've got a message that needs to be delivered. I don't know, we may need to put on some sackcloth and ashes first, just like people of Nineveh did. And, if we need to do that to get spiritually concerned about lost souls, then let's do it. Let's do that. Let's find our place, whether it be in this altar or at our own homes, and say, God, whatever's in my life that's in your way, forgive me of it, remove it, and let me get busy for you. And I pray that we can do that. And then we can do what God told Jonah to do. He said, arise and go. And that's what we need to do. We need to arise and go. Listen, this morning, a great revival took place in the city of Nineveh. That wasn't what was supposed to happen. And if you'll read the first two chapters and see what got us to this place, and then go and read the next chapter, you'll find out that that wasn't what Jonah was hoping for either. Jonah didn't care for those people. He was on board with destruction for Nineveh. But see, that wasn't God's heart. God was going to destroy them because of their wickedness. And listen, the truth of the matter is, why hasn't God come back yet? The Bible says that he's long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. That's why he hasn't come back yet. But you know what? That patience, that long suffering, it's not lasting forever. Someday, whether it's tomorrow, whether it's 10 years from now, 100 years from now, I don't know when the Lord's coming back. We don't know that, the Bible says. We can't know that. Only he knows it. But the assurance of God's word is that he is coming back, and that there's a need to be prepared for his coming. Listen, this morning, I'm prepared. I'll just tell you right out, I'm prepared. I've been saved by God's grace, and I'm thankful for his mercy that was extended unto me, and I'm one of his children, and I want to be a Jonah for him. I want to tell the people that I come in contact with and the opportunities I get to stand and preach. I want to tell people about Jesus, and I want them to come to know him, and I hope that's your heart too, and I hope that in the coming weeks we'll find our places and we'll get on our knees. Don't just pray for lost people to be saved. Pray for a burden for yourself. Get concerned about your family. Get concerned about your loved ones. Make it a priority to get them to the house of God so that the word can go forth. Not only that they can receive the word, but more importantly, pray that they believe the word. I think that's part of the problem today. A lot of people don't believe there's anything after this life. We're here, we're living, we die, we're done. Well, that's not what God's word teaches. And they need to know the truth. And if we tell them the truth and they still reject the truth, then they'll stand before a righteous, just God and say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity or of sin, I never knew you. And they'll be cast into that place of darkness. They'll be cast into that place of hell. But we'll have done what we needed to do. But I don't want to see anybody go there. And I want to have a genuine concern, a greater concern. I want a greater burden for them. And I hope that we all do as we prepare for revival. Brother Allen, I want to have a song. Would you come forward? Let's have a song. I want to give an invitation. There might be somebody here today that, as you have heard this message about this great revival in Nineveh, and you heard me say that, can it happen again? Well, the answer is yes. It can happen again. It can happen right here, right now, this morning, with you, if you need Jesus. And if you come and you seek him and you find rest for a troubled soul, you'll rejoice in the peace and the blessing of God. And I got to tell you, I'll rejoice with you, and I believe every child of God here will rejoice with you too, because that'll be one more that Satan couldn't keep. Satan wants you to die and go to hell. He can't change his destination. He can't change his situation. But he wants to take everyone with him that he can. Because if he can do that, that's his way of getting back at God. But God came and surrendered his life for you, that you don't have to go there to that agony, but you can go to a better place. Let's stand together. Let's have a song. I don't know what your need is today. If you're unsaved, you need to be saved. You need to come and see Jesus, seek Jesus. You may be here today and you say, you know what? I've drifted too far from the shore. I've strayed away from God. I need to get back to that place. It's a good place for God's people to come and pray and say, God, forgive me of that. Get me back to that place. As we stand, Brother Allen. Amen, that's right.